Presence here today, and know that the Lord has something especially for you. I can't wait to find out what that is. But if we have two Sundays in a row that are the same, I will fall down, have a heart attack, and die. That's why we're doing announcements in the beginning this morning, because we don't want to interrupt what we firmly believe the Lord is going to be doing this morning. Couple of announcements, several announcements that you need to know. Tomorrow, or next Sunday, is a really full Sunday. It starts out at 6:30 in the morning, for those who care to. Sweaty Sunday, I think is what they're calling it. There's a bike ride. Josh and Margaret, it starts here at 6:30. You can look in the bulletin. There should be one on your table. There's a bike ride. It starts at 6:30. It'll be over by 9. You have complete permission to come sweaty and stinky. We'll probably cordon off an area for you over here somewhere, and the rest of us will be over there. But then right after that, after the service, we're going to go have probably about 3 to 5 minutes away from here. The missions team is going to be hosting a swim party. And one of the things that happened after that swim party is that there's someone who needs to be baptized. So we're going to have a baptismal service and then go into the swim party. And I just want to encourage everyone here, if you're a regular participant in this community of faith, you really need to be there. There are some things that are so significant in the spiritual lives of a family of faith and an individual, and this is one of those things. So even if you have to go off to lunch or go meet with your parents or grandparents at some time on Sunday, I hope you'll be able to take a few minutes. We'll have directions next week to come in. We're going to do it first thing, and then we'll celebrate after that, and we'll all get wet. So that's going to be next Sunday. I do need a show of hands for people who want to stay and eat lunch at the cookout so we can make sure we have enough food. So if you're even remotely thinking about it, could you raise your hand so we could get a count? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. There's 18, but some of them are parents of really large families, so we may want to triple that. So is that good enough? Okay, I also need another tenuous count. This does not obligate you to anything, but it looks like we've found a place to do our fall retreat on October 11th. It's going to be about an hour. Retreats are an hour south of the city. So we'll be going there Friday night the 10th. We'll be doing everything on October 11th and then coming back probably about noon on that Sunday. I need a tentative count so I can figure out how many rooms to get. For people who want to go, who think they might be going to that church retreat in the beginning of October. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Okay, about the same as the cookout, so we'll take that number and we'll increase it. Now, at the retreat, though, we also put invitations out to the other free churches in the city, so it'll be fun to see who else is going to come to that. Please look in the bulletin. There's teacher training coming up on September 7th, I believe, something like that. Then there's the after-school program for Pearl Lane. This is what we do to serve both Carrie Reynolds Elementary School and the families and kids at Pearl Lane and Don Juan Apartments. That starts on September 3rd. And just take a look at those things, and please participate where you feel led. I'd like to take this time to dismiss the kids. If you are in elementary school or younger, if you can and care to, you can come back through these doors through here, right over here. Parents, you are under no obligations to send your kids. You can keep them with you the whole time. This just would be, if it'd be a blessing to them and a blessing to you, Sunday school is going to start now, and they'll go through this door right back here. We have a lot going on this morning. And as your pastor, I want to give you permission and encouragement to enter into what the Lord's going to do. This is going to push your boundaries a little bit. But unless our boundaries are pushed, unless we can break through the box, it's hard for God to work sometimes. So we're going to open up our hearts. We're going to listen. We're going to enter in, and we're going to follow. And if you get confused, if you're not sure what to do, just close your eyes. Enter into your own world. Listen to the Lord, right? And follow him. That's our calling. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am so excited about what you're going to do this morning. I am so eager to hear from you and to experience you, Father, in the way that you've touched your saints and that you've led them to reveal your glory this morning. So I pray over everyone here, whoever they are, whatever their relationship to you is, Lord, I pray it'll be renewed this morning, that it'll be broken, it'll be resurrected, and it'll be bright and shining and alive to your glory and to the advance of the gospel, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Hi, I'm over here. We've messed you all up, huh? You don't know where to look anymore. It's like, what's going on? Where's the worship coming from? Wow, I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted. I've been watching the Olympics every night. I'm just worn out. But it's exciting, isn't it? For those of you who don't know, I'm Korean-American. So that means, like, during the Olympics, I root for two countries. Like, I'm always looking out for somebody else's score and looking how the medal count's going on. And it's just a really weird feeling. But I've just been staying up way too late and just checking on the internet and reading more than I should and reading articles in sports that I've never even heard of. Like, synchronized diving. I never knew about that sport till this year. Did you guys know about it? Wow, that's amazing. Two people diving at the same time. They don't have synchronized bowling. They don't have synchronized tennis. It seems like somebody said, you know what, I can make a medal in a sport that never existed. So if we just create the sport, I can medal in it. I've been coming here at Open Table for over a year now, and you guys have been so welcoming and so just friendly and just open with me that I rarely have to mention that I'm Korean. I rarely feel the need to. But I've been thinking a lot about what it is that's distinctive about Korean worship as opposed to American worship and where I fit in and what I negotiate to be good and not good and a little bit fun and not fun, comfortable, not comfortable. And has anybody here, minus the Koreans in the room, like seen Korean worship? All right, got a couple. Could you describe it? What's it like? Anybody, whichever.
Loud.
It's loud?
Demonstrative.
Anybody else?
Everybody's involved.
Everybody's involved. Everybody's praying out loud at the same time. You know, that actually captures the heart of it. For most of my life growing up, my father's a pastor, and I would get so embarrassed because, you know, when they start prayer, it's just, you know, these very, like, you know, just nice mothers and like, really, you know how Asian guys, they're all, you know, especially the older ones are, like, small, and they work hard, and they just look uptight. And then they get in the church and they're like, okay, let's pray. And they just wail. And you're just like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be like, you're my dad. You're making me look bad. And I remember being a little bit embarrassed. And there's a lot of shouting. They're very passionate. It's very, very loud. You can barely tell what's going on. And growing up here in America, with a good education and the ability to speak fluent English, I felt as though I was past that. I felt like I was a little bit too sophisticated. I'm fine. I'm reserved. I want to be the cool and calculating Asian American. I don't want to be the desperate immigrant. I don't cry out to God anymore. I make prayer requests. You guys know what I'm talking about? I want to be moved by the worship. I don't want to be the mover of worship. You know, I don't want to be the one begging at the robes of God, like, like Jacob, you know, just wrestling with God. Like, I won't let go till you bless me. Oh, that's so tacky. I mean, oh, come on, get some class. Have some dignity, Jacob. But then, you know, like Jacob, and this verse here in Joel, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. A solemn assembly I have. But that last line, we're gonna call a solemn assembly, and we're gonna cry out to the Lord. That struck me as really paradoxical. You were just solemn a second ago. I wonder if these instances from the Word of God, of these instances of women and men crying out to the heart of God, shouting. I mean, there are Hebrew words for saying and speaking, but the words from the scripture are specific. They're shouting, cry out. It's not just he said, she said. It's he cried out. And it makes me wonder if my parents got something right, at least this aspect of the gospel right, is that out of this desperation, they could cry out. They didn't have to hold back. And this morning, I want you guys to focus on these words, cry out and shout, because we want to show you how often they occur in the Bible. And I assure you, they occur much more often than we're going to show you this morning. But pay attention to that. Well, actually, I'm going to ask you to do more than pay attention. I'm going to ask you to lift your voice this morning and shout out, even if you'd like. You know, just a personal question. When was the last time you shouted out? When was the last time you shouted for joy? You know, for me this week, I was watching the Olympics, of course. And the last time I saw somebody shout out for joy, just in like untethered, just will not be denied joy, was when Michael Phelps, when I think it was his second gold. Do you guys remember this? See every vein, every sinew of muscle just rah. What do you think this sounded like? Yeah, we all do. What do you think this sounded like? When was the last time you shouted for joy like the psalmist? Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. Crying out is a visceral action. It's a measurement of intensity. You can't cry out unless you want to expose yourself. It's a little bit raw. It's a full way of exposing yourself to a stimulus that gives rise to that kind of response. Today, our hope is to expose the intensity of God, being in the presence of God, to expose the intensity of crying out on our needs, on the behalf of others. And also, just the intense need that comes out of our brokenness and depravity. Okay, so you may never have tried this, and I have to admit, I'm a little rusty, but I'd like to teach you how my Korean parents pray. Are you guys game? I'm just as terrified as you are. So here's the thing. Here's the first step to praying like my Korean parents. Is, first of all, you have to just get rid of all your self-consciousness. The focus is not on you. Secondly, it's okay if you stammer. It's okay if you don't know what to say. It's okay if you say the same thing over and over. If that's what's true about God, you can say that over and over. And the next thing is, I would say, just put your heart in it. Koreans are known as passionate people. But all we're trying to do is interact with God in accordance with what we see in Scripture. One of the ways that our Koreans usually start this kind of prayer, I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing some of the Koreans in this room, because our parents do it, but we're not used to doing it, because like I said, we're too sophisticated now. But one of the ways they start with prayer is they actually start by saying, "Juyo." Can you guys say, "Juyo"?
Juyo.
What you just said in Korean, with excellent pronunciation, I might add, is you said, "Lord," and you're crying out, "Oh, Lord, Juyo." So what they do is they say, "Juyo, Juyo, Juyo," and they start praying in this just waves of prayer. You guys ready? You guys are like, "Are we really going to do this?" Yes, we're really going to do this. I don't know what posture of prayer makes you feel comfortable. Again, this is just the practice of crying out. This is a practice of shouting biblically to God. All right? So if you want to stand, please stand. You can say either one you want. I'm just teaching you the real authentic way. So if you guys want to get Korean food with me, I'm going to take you to authentic Korean. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm going to teach you Korean prayer, I can't just do the watered-down Korean-American version. I got to take you to the real Chuyo. You know what I'm saying? Okay? So on the count of three, Chuyo, 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 or Lord, 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 and then just pray out loud. You guys ready? One, two, three. Chuyo! 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 Father! Father, come to this land. Come down, Lord. We need you. We need you, oh God. Come fill this place, oh God. Make us aware. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear, oh God. The coming of your kingdom, oh God. We are desperate, oh God. We desperately need you, oh God. God, we are not complete. We are not complete. Your mission is not over. We are not complete, oh God. We are broken, oh God. We need healing, oh God. We need freedom, oh God. Oh God. This is not enough. This is not enough. We want more of you, God. We see so much brokenness, oh God. Fill this place, oh God. May you be glorified. We are joyful, but we want to see more of God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Be magnified. Be my strength. Be my joy, oh God. Fill our hearts with joy that we might praise you, that we might turn this sanctuary into dancing and shouting. Be magnified, oh God. Be magnified, oh God. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. And we cannot help but cry out, for you are worthy. You are an awesome God. You are an awesome God. arise, cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift your hands to Him for the lives of your children who faint for hunger at the head of every street. Crying out in the presence of God and shouting for joy is a very different cry than crying out on behalf of others and our needs. While the book of Nehemiah says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, it is very possible that many of us did not have joy this morning. We did not have strength. And there are moments when we become aware of our own brokenness. And even if everything is just fine, God pricks our conscience so that we see the brokenness around us. And all this is reason to cry out to the Lord. But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? Wretched and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am desperate.
We cry out. We cry out. Do you not hear us? Why do you?
Confronted with our own need, we become more suppressed, more controlled, because we don't want anyone to see. We don't want anybody to see us desperate, pathetic, needy. We've been conditioned not to complain, not to groan. But it's not wrong. Indeed, it is biblical to cry out to God, our God, when our souls are frustrated.